These words of Jesus to his disciples are taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, starting at verse 5. And they're on page 1084 of the Church Bibles for those who want to follow it in the text. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you.
Great. Thank you very much, Graham, for reading that for us. Andrew is now going to come and preach for us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Please keep that passage open in front of you, and let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes to learn from your word this morning and to draw closer to you, we pray. Amen. Well, look at that. Those floodlights are just amazing, aren't they? They just give such a beautiful light, such a nice even light, and really show up the dark and the shade of that building. And it's just such a lovely, clear light, the most beautiful floodlights I think I've ever seen. Our passage today and our talk today is about the Spirit of Truth. Now, a subtitle of that could be, in a sense, the truth about the Holy Spirit, because this is what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us what the Holy Spirit is really all about. And it's important that we understand the truth from what Jesus teaches us. Christians can differ about the different work of the Holy Spirit and the different emphases. So it's important that we really concentrate on what Jesus has to say in this passage today. Now, there's enough for about half a dozen sermons here, but we're only going to have one concise one today. The Holy Spirit of Truth. Now, just before we get into this, in verse 15, you'll see that Jesus talks about the Spirit. Note in your Bibles the capital S there. You might hear quite often in sermons references to the Spirit. Now, we're not just talking about some vague force here. The Spirit is God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It's important also to note that the Holy Spirit is a person. Have a look at verse 13. Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is God in the same way that the Father is God and the Son is God. Just one more point before we get into Jesus' teaching. This is not the first time we learn about the Spirit from the Bible. Right back at the beginning of the Bible, right at the very beginning of the first book of the Bible, we see these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right at the beginning there, the Holy Spirit, right from the beginning. Okay, let's just see what Jesus is saying now to his disciples. Just imagine if you were one of the disciples listening to Jesus and what he says in verse 2. Have a look at verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Well, goodness me, that sounds like this is going to be an impossible mission, doesn't it? Well, it would be if it weren't for the fact that Jesus promises them something, someone wonderful, who will be everything they need, the Holy Spirit. Jesus assured them they will not be alone. And in the same sense, we are not alone today. Now we see from verse 6 that the disciples are sad. They're afraid. They're full of grief. Because they're beginning to understand what Jesus has been telling them about his death and the fact that he will be leaving them. So Jesus comforts them by telling them about the Holy Spirit. Now, earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit being a comforter. What he teaches in our passage today is primarily about the Holy Spirit's role as a defense lawyer, but also as a prosecutor. Well, how can that be? Well, we'll find out in just a moment. Jesus here is talking about truth, all truth, we read. We'll see how that truth is revealed. He's explaining to the disciples why he's going away. While he's with them physically, he is in one place at one time. But because of the Holy Spirit with the disciples, they're going to be able to go out and take this message to the whole world. Why is he leaving them? Look at verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor or advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So this is Jesus comforting the disciples, explaining that the Holy Spirit will be there to help them in their mission impossible. As a comforter, but also to help them in this mission to spread the good news of the gospel to the world. And when Jesus is saying this, he's pointing ahead to the time of Pentecost when, after his death, the disciples received the Holy Spirit. So let's come on to our first point here. The Holy Spirit both defends and prosecutes. Now, in verse 7, Jesus is talking about a counselor or an advocate. And the word used in this verse is paraclete, which means to stand by somebody, to be their support, to assist them. In the same way as a defense lawyer is there to support the case of the person who is being prosecuted. But then in verse 8, Jesus goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit as a prosecutor. See what it says. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt, the world in relation to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, the word convict here is used in the sense of cross-examining someone in the same way that a prosecutor would in court, to examine someone's evidence, get them on the witness stand and cross-examine them, asking them lots of hard questions to try to disentangle the way they're thinking. Maybe to actually undo that person's view of things. So how is it then that the Holy Spirit can be a defence lawyer and a prosecutor? Well, just imagine there's someone you know and love who's engaged in some deluded or self-destructive behaviour. Do you just stand by and do nothing? No. You get rough with them, as it were. Now, you've all seen the film where two people are running away from danger. One of them falls down and says, "Oh, I give up. I'm too weak. We can never get out of here. It's over." Now, if you love that person, what do? It's not time to be gentle, is it? You grab them. You say, "Come on your feet. Come on, we're going to get out of here." Why do you do that? Why do you rough them up? Why do you grab them by the collar, drag them to their feet? Why do you argue with them? Why do you tell them they're all crazy and wrong? Why do you prosecute? Why? Because you love them. Now, there's a general work here of the Holy Spirit, and there's a very particular work here. The general work of the Holy Spirit is to convict or convince the world of its sin, and the particular work is to convict us as individuals of our sin. Look at verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. Look at those last few words. Because men, people, do not believe in me. That's the crucial issue, unbelief in Jesus. Which leads us to our second point. The Holy Spirit comes to show us that we're sinners if we don't believe in Jesus. So why does this conviction about sin have to come first? Why does the Holy Spirit have to make us feel bad before he can make us feel good? Well, imagine again, someone you love. You know and you can see that they're ill. You're convinced that they're ill. But they don't want to do anything about it. They don't want to go and see a doctor. They're trying to put it out of their minds. What do? You have to argue, don't you? You have to prosecute. You have to convict them, convince them of their illness. You have to say, "Look at your symptoms. Look at what it says here online. It says this and this will happen. You're going to need to see a doctor about this." You're convicting them of their sickness. We have to be convinced or convicted about our sin before we can find salvation in Jesus. Now, if someone offers you help, you're going to respond according to how much you think you need that help. If you're doing something you're absolutely confident about and you know exactly how to do, and someone says, do you want a hand with that? You'd think that was a bit of an insult, wouldn't you? But if you're doing something where you're not quite sure, but you just need a little bit of help and someone offers to help, well, that's nice, isn't it? But if you're trying to do something that you just can't do and you're desperate for help and someone comes along and offers you help, then that person becomes your saviour. So it all depends on your consciousness. Now, we're not talking here about a natural conscience that might sort of prick us and make us feel uncomfortable. You do something, "Oh dear, that was a bit naughty, wasn't it?" No, this is about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's something deeper than just feeling like a bad person. Jesus says the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin because they do not believe in me. This is something deeper than just being convicted of sins with an S on the end. That's something that can happen without the Holy Spirit. But it's only the Holy Spirit that can show you the reason maybe you're living the way you are. Maybe you're living in such a way as to try to be your own saviour, to save yourself. You remember what Bart was saying last week about the ways in which people might think of themselves? I live a decent life. I'm better than most. God should favour me. God should accept me. God should accept my prayers. What the Holy Spirit teaches us is that it's just not good enough to be better than most. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind? 100% of the time? It's simply not good enough to be better than most. What the Holy Spirit does is to come to people who think that and to lead them to be able to say, I've been trying to be my own saviour. I've been trusting in my own good works. But the Holy Spirit also comes to people who might feel bad, feel like a failure, feel full of guilt. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve any better than this. Is that you? The Holy Spirit can show you that that is also not the right way to feel. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do it in a way to make you feel even worse about yourself. Even if you might be trying to make amends for your own sin. But now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit also convinces us about righteousness. We see that in verse 8. Now, do you know the difference between a Christian and a religious person? The difference between a Christian and a religious person is that religious people repent of their sins, but Christians also repent of their righteousness. Have you ever thought about that? Christians say, my best deeds, the best things I've done, all my efforts to be good, are really just trusting in myself. All along, everything I've been doing is to try to keep control of my life by earning my way in. Repenting of righteousness. Now, our title today is The Spirit of Truth. Look at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, or glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Let's go back a moment to our beginning. Now, you might have thought I'd rather lost the plot at the beginning, and you were probably already preparing a text to Bart, say, take this man off the preaching rota. He's clearly lost it altogether. I was raving about the floodlights in that picture. I'd rather miss the point, hadn't I? It was daft. The whole point of floodlights is to show off the building. You don't praise the floodlights. They're there to help draw attention to the building and help you to admire it. So it is with the Holy Spirit. The role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the floodlights showing us Jesus. Look at the end of verse 13. Jesus says that it is him, Jesus, who gives to the Holy Spirit what the Holy Spirit makes known to us. So there it is, the work of the Holy Spirit bringing glory to Jesus. So to end, I'd like us to look at a verse from the chapter just before our reading, chapter 26, of verse 26 of chapter 14. Words are on the screen. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Some of you may be familiar with the Authorized Version where it says, will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So on this Remembrance Sunday, has the Spirit of Truth convicted you about your righteousness? Have you repented of your righteousness? Have you recognized that all the good things you've done are good, but they're simply not good enough? The Holy Spirit convicts us that it's in turning to Jesus that we can become good enough. If you'd like to talk more about this, do talk to Bart or to me or to someone you trust who you know to be a Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, we will understand the need to repent of our righteousness, to understand that we can't rely on our good works, and that we will see that it is only through turning to the Lord Jesus that we can be good enough for you. Amen.